Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. I want to honor every single volunteer in our midst. How many of you guys enjoy worship today? I really enjoy worship today. I thank you. Would you give a big hand to all our volunteers who serve us right outside? In my 3-2-1 earlier, I had a conversation with this gentleman. He said he has been serving Kids Church since after COVID. So we are, you know, Adam mentioned about building the church. It's really about all of us, right? The church is not one person. It is not. It's all of us. In fact, church means God's people. How many guys God's people in our midst, right? Church is every single one of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Okay, so once again, I'm so glad, I'm so humbled. Every time we come in, we see volunteers fellowshipping, serving, week in, week out, just wanting to give our best to God. Amen? Now, we are on this series called Me and My Household. Say, Me and My Household. And this is a family series, and every year we endeavor to do a series on family to strengthen families. Let me just share a latest family picture that we took earlier of this month. We celebrated Faith, my second daughter's 11th birthday. Okay, so that's us celebrating her 11th birthday. And no, she is still not getting her puppy. She's still not getting her dog. It's still 5 versus 1. But I really enjoy my time with each and every one of them going through different life stages. Kristen, my eldest, she is sitting for SPM this year. So obviously her this season is a lot more studying. And Kristen and Shane are more into sports. And both of them are serving and attending our Damansara teens. And they are serving in the worship, serving in the teens and together. Really enjoy, you know, spending time with them and seeing what God is doing in their lives. While as the younger two, pretty much they follow us wherever we go. Partly because they have no choice as well, right? Joash, my youngest, 8 years old, just want to share a little bit of a story. Maybe about 2-3 weeks ago, my wife decided to write a note for them as they go to school. Okay, she has, I'm not sure whether she has done it before, but she wrote a note and put it in each and every one of their lunchbox or pencil box, right? So she wrote for all the children. She didn't write for the husband, but it's okay. That's a story for another day. But as each of them comes back, Kristen comes back and says, Mom, thank you. I've received your note. Shane came back and my wife asked him, Shane, you received my note? He said, yes, thank you, Mom. Thank you for the encouraging note. Faith came back, most expressive. Thank you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. And Joash, the 8-year-old, a little bit blur, came back, didn't say a word. Okay, so my wife asked Joash, did you receive a note? Mom put it in your lunchbox. And Joash says, yes, Mom, I received your note. But because you glue it, I didn't really know how to open it. Okay, so says, that's fine. You didn't open it. It's fine. Where's the note right now? And Joash says, I threw it away. Okay, and he went about doing his own things. Right? So obviously my wife's like, what? You threw away the note that I wrote for you? Okay, now you will never know. Okay, 20 years later, he will still be wondering what is in that note. Okay, but why am I telling this story is that sometimes I thought that a lot of times God wants to speak to us, but a lot of times we did not open up our hearts. We did not open up the Word of God. We missed God's Word for us, right? Sitting in this service, you are here already. Sometimes we can be distracted, right? We can be distracted and we missed out. We miss, we dismiss, we disregard God's Word that God wants to speak to everyone today. So today, as I pray for us, as we look into the Word, I want to pray that you will open up your hearts and open up your mind to the Word of God. Okay, let me pray. God, we thank you today that you want to speak to us. We thank you that your Word is alive, your Word is active. I pray today, sitting here, we will not be distracted, but we will open up our eyes, our heart, and our mind and spirit, God, to hear from you. We thank you, and all God's people say, amen, amen. All right. So as we go to the key passage of this series, Pastor Jason kind of kickstart the series for us. But essentially, this church in Philippi was planted when Paul and Silas were on their second missionary journey. They arrived in this Greek city in Philippi, and because of their success in ministry, they were in an uproar, they were beaten, there was a riot, and both Paul and Silas was thrown into prison. Okay, they were beaten, they were thrown into prison, and in fact, even in prison, they were praising and singing to God. I don't know about you, but if I were in that situation, beaten, wounded, locked in my legs, I'm not sure whether I could praise and worship God. But that's what they did. And the prisoners were listening, and the jailer, which is the main character of this series, the jailer were also listening, I presume. You may be sitting here, you may be going through a situation that is, you feel hopeless, you feel stuck, you feel in prison, you didn't know what to do. I want to encourage you to, just like Paul and Silas, to pray and to praise and to bring in and usher in God's presence in your situation and believing God that God will come true. Just like how God came true for Paul and Silas, we want to usher in the presence of God in whatever situation that you may be in. All right, so there was an earthquake. The prison door were open, and all their chains, all their locks were being unfastened as well. And obviously, the prisoner ran away. The jailer woke up. The jailer is someone who is obviously a non-Jewish person, and he was working for the Roman government as a prison warden. And he wanted to kill himself because he failed in his job. And the punishment then was death. He wanted to kill himself, but before he could do that, Paul basically call out, "Don't do it, we are still here." And surprised, the jailer bring in the light and went into the prison and found them. And the first thing that he asked was, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And that's where this verse came about. And Paul told them, he says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. He took them in the same hour of the night. We believe that the jailer potentially stayed very near where he worked. So he brought them to the house. He washed their wounds. He was baptized at once. He and all his families, then he brought them into the house, set food before them, and he rejoiced along his entire household that he has believed in God. So as we look at the jailer and the household conversion, we want to talk about the building blocks of a faith-filled household. You know, today we live in a generation that want quick fix, right? We want three steps. Pastor, I want three simple steps how to build a faith-filled household, that my child will grow up knowing God, that my siblings will grow up, you know, loving God. There is no quick fix. Just like how Rome is not built in a day, a faith-filled household requires dedication, prayer, the grace of God, labor, resources, energy. It requires all of this as we lay down the foundation of the building blocks of a faith-filled household. So when we look at the key verse and we kind of break it down to the four different blocks, the four different weeks, we will find out that they are, in this series, the four different blocks as we build a faith-filled household. So last week, Pastor Jason speaks about what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we truly believe the version, the truth about Jesus Christ, and not our own rojak mixture version of Jesus Christ? Do we believe the gospel? So Pastor Jason spoke about that. And I like how when the jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't give him a list of do and don'ts, right? Paul didn't tell him that, okay, you need to attend this program. Paul didn't say that, okay, now you need to get your life right, you need to stop doing this, and you need to stop doing that, and start doing this. Paul didn't give him a list to do, but Paul simply tells him the starting point is to believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And number two, speak the word, which we're going to talk about today. Next week, how it lives out faith as a family and rejoice over the life given by God, week four. So this is the four building block. So when we look at the letter to the Philippians, so Paul planted his church in his second missionary journey. And 10 years later, he was in prison in Rome and he wrote a letter to the church in Philippi. Are you guys with me? So 10 years later, he wrote this book in Philippians. And I want to kind of pick that up and Paul reiterate what it means to believe in Jesus. In fact, Paul says, "Everything that I gain, okay, my credentials, my privilege, my knowledge, my achievement, I consider it worthless compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Again, that's the starting point again. Paul reiterate what it means to know Christ. Not know about Christ, know Christ. There's a difference between knowing Christ and knowing about Christ. Now, I know about Cristiano Ronaldo, but I don't know him, right? Obviously, he doesn't know me. but I know about Him. There is a difference. Sometimes we confuse knowing about Christ as a household to knowing Christ. We think that by coming to church once a week, by sending our kids and teens to kids' church and teens, and by bringing once a week, we thought that that it suffice. But it's not about knowing about Christ. It's knowing Christ. And we kind of talk about that as we go along. Now, today, as the building blocks, number two, we want to talk about what it means to speak the word. Speak the word of truth, speak the word of life within our household and the impact that it will bring. Now, speaking the word, I'm not talking about motivational speaking, okay? I'm not talking about some quotes that we really liked. You can do it. No. We want to talk about what it means to speak the word of God, the word of truth, the word of life over our household. Now, words have great power over our lives. Words have great power over our household. Right? It's true. The book of James speaks about how words are powerful in a sense that the tongue is like a small part of the body, but it could steer the whole entire body. He kind of make a metaphor of a ship. The rudder is a small part of the ship, but it could steer the entire ship. James went on to say, the tongue is a small part of our body, but it makes great boast. Consider what great forest is set on by fire by a small spark. We read about the forest fire in California that is uncontrollable, right? And sometimes, once in a while, we'll have haze, forest fire by our neighboring countries. Great forests sparked by just a small spark. The tongue is also like a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it's itself set on fire by hell. Wow, that's pretty strong word. But it's true, right? We have seen how marriage is being shred to pieces by just words spoken, thrown at each other to want to hurt, to destroy, to harm, to kill each other. And we know, because we are close to one another, we know the exact words to speak to crush the person's spirit. And Jesus says that out of our hearts, the mouth speak. Right? So what is in our heart that is our mouth? No wonder we speak about selfishness and pride, because our hearts are full of those things. What are we confessing? What are we speaking? We all know that, we all know of people, even ourselves, that we are imprisoned by words that has been spoken over us by people in authority, right? Whether it's parents, teachers, leaders, pastors, bosses at work. We still, even though it has been years has gone by, but it cuts deep, because words have power over our lives. Proverbs 18, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it means those who appreciate, understand the power of tongue, and will then use it to choose life, will enjoy the fruit of speaking life. What about us, right? Have we been imprisoned by words? We carelessly speak words. Words like, you can never make it. He's hopeless one. I wish I've never met you. I wish you were never born. You are ugly. You are hopeless. I regret marrying you. You will never be as good as your brother, your sister. You will fail. You always do this. You never do this. Words like this, words of life, imprison us. It cuts deep. It cripples us. Right? It have a hole over our lives. But we can choose today to speak life, right? We can choose today to speak the word of truth, to confess, to know the word of truth, and to speak the word of truth. Time for evaluation. Do we speak words of life to our household, to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your siblings? Do you speak the word of truth, grace, love, courage, faith, kindness? Or do you speak the words of death? You speak anxiety, fear. When we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we do is criticize, accuse, slander, anger, complain, comparison, accusation, unkindness. Are those words of death that we choose to speak in our household? Of course, we can apply it to our workplace, but In this series, we want to talk about household. Couple of words from Proverbs. If you look at the word of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, there's so many verses that speaks about the power of words as well. I'm just going to read some of those. He says, there is one who rash words are like swords, okay? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. It speaks about speaking words without thinking, rash words. And oftentimes, after we speak it, we regret it, right? And it's something that we cannot take back when words are being spoken. But this verse speaks about how the tongue of the wise, that we have this filter, we have this mind to filter the words so that we can choose to bring healing. Just one word, Proverbs 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When our spouse comes back from work, husband comes back from a long day of work, wife comes back from a long day of work, what do we speak? The moment when they walk in the door. Why so late? Sure, you're angry already, right? The whole night. Okay. I'm so like traffic jam, I don't, you know. Right, okay. What if instead of asking why so late when you come home, honey, you must be tired. Wow. Why not? Come back, why didn't throw rubbish last night? Stirs up anger. Okay, maybe go out for dinner, the wife takes some time to get ready, comes down from the stairs, trying to, you know, do her hair and come down, husband, why so long? Try saying, well, you look nice, let's go, okay? Kids, the same, right? When they come back, is our first words to them is attacking them, accusing them, telling them they're not good enough, you should have done this. After your child finish a sporting match, maybe it's tennis, maybe it's basketball, maybe it's football, they run under the hot sun, 30 minutes, come out, the first thing that you come out, hey, you should run faster lah. Hot sun, eh, way. Okay? They cannot still say, you go and run. They're still small, right? But what is our words? And it comes out from our hearts, right? The insecurity, the pride, the fear. What we say comes out from our hearts. Proverbs 15, it says, the soothing tongue is the tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. It crushes the spirit. You know, parents, our careless words can crush the spirit of our children without knowing. Sometimes we talk, it's just a joke. I'm having conversation one day with a couple, and I was talking about words, and the wife was telling me that, remember that time when you speak this word when our boy was 12, 13 years old and our husband cannot remember. Got me, a few years ago. I said, what did I say? Yeah, you said this. You say, you cry like a girl. Husband forget already, but the wife still remember. I'm sure the son remembers. And we say words, careless words that could crush the spirit. But we choose to build up, right? The opposite is true. The good news is the opposite is true, that we can speak words that build up the spirit. Proverbs 16, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Now, I'm not talking about sweet talk. I'm not talking about flattery, but I'm talking about life-giving words. One thing I always do when talking through couples which going through marriage challenges, at the end of hearing him and hearing her and I always close with, I say, let's do an exercise, can we? I say, so why don't you look at each other and you speak this? He says, I am thankful for, fill in the blank. I love you for, fill in the blank. And I am sorry for, fill in the blank. And I'll do that exercise with them. And it never fails to soften the anger. It never fails to soften the walls of the heart. Why? Because words brings healing to the soul. Words bring healing to the soul. I always joke, doing a wedding, I always joke that before marriage, right, the most powerful three words, I love you. But after marriage, the most powerful three words is, I am sorry. Not I am hungry, okay? I am sorry. Okay, or one word, biyane, okay? But it's true. In a marriage, it's so difficult to say, I'm sorry. Okay, so it takes the first person
Sorry lah.
Okay. And when you say that, the power of words, it brings healing and sweetness to the soul. Now, back to Philippians. Remember, I mentioned Paul wrote that letter 10 years addressing the church again. So Paul says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. This is so true. And he gave all the good things that come if we do not grumble, if we do not dispute. Okay, disputing means constantly arguing, constantly contending, constantly fighting for our own views, for our own preferences. Paul says, do all things. All things means your household stuff, your workplace, your friends. And he says, do all things without grumbling, without disputing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, a child of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Wow. Basically, he's saying that if we do all things without grumbling and being contentious, being disputing and often complaining, guess what? We will be like a child of God and we will shine in the light, as lights in the world in a crooked and twisted generation. The power of words. And then he says, holding fast. Say the word holding fast. Holding fast to the word of life. Okay? And this word of life simply means, if you look, it has the word that says God's mind, God's heart, God's thoughts. Okay, so it's the word of truth, right? So that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I do not run in vain or labor in vain. Now, holding fast, I thought, what does it mean to hold fast? And I thought about some years back, I was wondering, birds and bats, right, when they rest on a tree branch, and sometimes they could fall asleep. And I was always wondering why they never fall off the branch. Why a bat that is hanging outside, upside down in a cave, falling asleep, why do they not fall off? Right? When we sleep, sometimes we fall off the bed. But these guys, the wind comes, the storm comes, they can still sleep restfully on a branch. And I found out that their legs, their tendon, there is a locking mechanism, right? As they fold their legs, or whatever you call it, okay, there is the tendon locks in and they are fast and secure that their muscle could even relax and they could sleep. So when wind comes, when storm comes, they will not fall because they are held fast to that branch when their tendons are being locked up. So in the same way, as we go through life, I want to encourage us as a family, as a household, we want to hold fast to the word of life in such a way whereby we hold fast, right? We locked it in. And when storm comes, when wind comes, we will not falter. We will not fall. We will not stumble. We will not grow weary because we are holding fast the word of life. Don't hold fast to gossip. Don't hold fast to negative thinking. Don't hold fast to a lie. Don't hold fast to all these things we like to hold fast. But you, Paul teaches us to hold fast to the word of life. What do? The first thing we wake up, do we reach for our phone and look at market news? And how is US market doing? How is S&P? Do we hold fast to those news? Do we hold fast to gossip? Do we go to our social media and we see the latest gossip, the latest fear-mongering, the latest, we hold fast to those things. No wonder we are anxious. No wonder we are fearful, right? But it says, hold fast to the word of life. And when you hold fast, and when you begin to speak that, when you begin to confess that, when you begin to pray that to your household, guess what? It changes the atmosphere of the household. It changes the faith atmosphere of the house, and you are laying blocks of faith household in your family, holding fast to the word of life. How do we do that? Number one, we want to learn the word, right? Create all avenues to learn the word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's not just about coming together and doing a family devotion. That's great. It's a bit challenging for me to do that because the age group of my kids is wide, but there are ways to learn the word together. One way is to cultivate learning, cultivate the habit of reading. As an adult, as kids, we help them cultivate a habit of reading. When you do that, there is a higher chance that they will enjoy the Bible. There is a higher chance that they will enjoy reading the Bible because the habit of reading is already there. cultivate the habit of reading. The other way is to pray. Right? Don't just pray a general prayer, but pray scriptures. I remember there was one time my eldest daughter, she was timid, she was shy. When she first go to primary school, okay, the school is near us, we will walk her to the school and she will be crying and crying and crying for, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And my wife will walk her to school and confessing a scripture, the righteous is as bold as a lion. The righteous, say it with me, Kristen, the righteous is as bold. She will walk to school crying, the righteous is as bold as a lion, the righteous is as bold as a lion. But guess what? You are praying scripture. Right, you are allowing the scripture to come out in life. Recently, there was a decision making that we need to do for our family, for my son, and we were talking about it. We were weighing different options. I said, let's pray. And I told him, there is this scripture that says that as a man plans, but it is the Lord that directs the steps. I said, let's pray that scripture. We learn the word together. Right? We learn the word. Create opportunities for when your kids comes back from teens and say, what did the kids' church teach today? What verse is that? And you ask them and you bring about an interesting story, an interesting fact about that word. Some of our parents may, now with technology, we can send them YouTube preaching in their own dialect. You can send them maybe a quote, a verse, you can send it and pray to them through voicemail. There are many ways through technology that we can do that for our parents as well, for our siblings as well. Number two, we reflect on the Word. Hebrews says the Word of God is alive and active. Do you allow time for the Word to marinate your soul, to bring about that reflection? Remember the household, these are people who live with us. Right? It's easy to come to church for 1.5 hours and say, hey, praise you, praise God and hallelujah. I'll pray for you, brother. God is good. It's easy to do that for 1.5 hours. But the moment we get to our car, gossip happened, accusing one another and getting angry with our spouse. And guess who is observing that? Our children, right? But allowing, as you allow the Word of God to reflect, to bring about conviction, guess what? Sometimes, as parents, we need to say sorry. Say, you know what, daddy has been unfair to you and daddy lost the temper. Would you forgive me? Reflecting the Word of God and living the Word out is powerful. Of course, number three is to speak and to live out the Word of God together. Right? James, again, says, be doers of the Word, not just hearers deceiving yourself. And I like this part. Let me just read, okay? Follow along. It says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, which is the word, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Wow. So James is saying, if you do the word, if you live out the word, you will be blessed in your doing. You will be blessed at your workplace. You will be blessed in your relationship, in your household. You will be blessed when you do the word. Right? So it's not just about knowing, guys. It's living the word out together. In fact, I did not put it here, but it comes with a warning. And I thought, wow, I need to read this to you. Verse 27, he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceive his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Wow, that's a strong word. But on the flip side, if you do it, if you live out the word together, you will be blessed in your doing. How are you living out the word in your household? Now, we all live in different households, right? Some of our household not fully, not all believer of Christ, but that's okay because God is using you to be a channel, to a channel of grace, of truth, of life, of love to your family members, to your extended family members. Some of you, you are potentially the only Christian in your family, and that's okay. You can pray this verse. You can allow God to use you to be a channel as you speak life, as you speak blessing. Yet just yesterday, I got a text from someone who is preaching the same message in another location. And he snapshot a picture. He's the only Christian in his household. And he snapshot a WhatsApp message from his sister saying that, bro, his younger brother, bro, you are a good son. And thank you for serving the family. Yeah, they're in a family business. And I thought, wow, what a great picture of God using that person to be a channel of blessing, means of grace to your family members. I spoke about Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher in the 1700s. And Jonathan and his wife, Sarah Edwards, they have 11 children. Okay, I cannot imagine, okay? And his biography says that every day in the evening, he would spend at least an hour uninterrupted with his family, and he will pray over all his children. Okay, but I did the maths. 1 hour, 60 minutes divided by 11 children, not that many minutes per kid, okay? But he would do that every single day, religiously. He will speak the word of God over their lives, pray the word of God over their lives, and just spend time with them. Obviously, the wife has a great impact on all the children. And 150 years later, there was a sociologist that did a study of the legacy of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. And they found that out of just 150 years, the family tree, there are hundreds of pastors and missionary. There are 40, 50 college professor, dean of university. There's one vice president of the United States. There are many senators. The legacy that goes to a household that speak God's word, that pray God's word, that confess God's word, and live out God's word as a family. The legacy of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. One more story and I'll close before we move on to dialogue. This family come to know Christ maybe 2017 and 2018. Some of you know the story because we feature Nick's story in our Easter production. To cut the long story short, angry person and unchurched. But when they came to know Christ, just in a span of, I think within 2 weeks, both husband and wife came to know God. And their lives began to change. So I did one-to-one with him. And at first, there was nothing changed. But by the third or fourth chapter, I could sense that something in his heart was transforming. His language began to change. He said, oh, Pastor, last time my language very flowery one. Okay. But now it's different. Okay. He began to change his language. He began to be kind to his household, to his office. And eventually, they had the heart. Okay. They are the first so-called believer in the family, and they have the heart to reach out to their family members. And Stephanie, the wife, she has three other siblings, okay, three younger brother. And in that 2 years, one by one, each brother came to know Christ. Brother number two, his name is AJ. Long story short, only God could have saved him. Yeah, he was in substance abuse, he was in different things, and he would share his testimony everywhere today. Only God could have saved him. But because of the sister's prayer and confession and changes in his life, one by one, second brother got saved. And third brother, Amos, got saved because he saw the changes in Stephanie and the brother-in-law. He saw the changes in Nick. He saw the changes in AJ number two. He came to know Christ. Only left brother number one, Terry. He couldn't come to church because he works as a chef. But his wife came to Christ first. And he could see the changes. And they were telling me that, Pastor, I think my brother is ready, but he's still waiting for God to show up. Okay, he's still waiting. So one day, I brought my family to Sunway Lagoon. Okay, and my kids were playing in Nickelodeon Splash Park. And sitting next to me is Terry and the wife and the family. They also bring the kids to Sunway Lagoon. And the kids are also playing in the Nickelodeon Splash Park. And I look at them, they look at me. So I walked over and speak to them. Okay, so I speak to them. I was talking to Terry. I says, did you see changes in your family? He says, yes, Pastor. I've seen so much changes through my wife and through my sisters and my brother. I could see it. And I explained the gospel to him. And he accepted Christ. It was my first time leading someone to Christ without my shirt on. Okay. We were in Sunway Lagoon. That's why I put a towel over me. I took a picture. But anyways, But he came to know Christ today. Terry, number one, he is a life group leader. Brother number two, AJ, serve as an usher. Brother number three, Amos, serve as a lighting crew. But it doesn't end there. Remember, household, right? You and your household. It doesn't end there. Eventually, the sister-in-law's mother got saved. Eventually, Nick's mother in Singapore got saved because she cannot imagine the changes to his son. Okay, and there are more. It doesn't end there. Their cousins got saved in other cities and other church. I don't know them, so I didn't put their picture up. But what I'm saying is that me and my household, what I'm saying is that God wants to use each and every one of us as a channel of God's grace, truth, life, love, gospel to the rest of our household. Some of us, it could be our parents. Some of us could be our siblings. Some of us could be our spouse. And then in-laws and then cousins. It's not just individual, but it's household. It's not just household, but households. And it's not just households, but it's generation. That God wants to use each and every one of you to be that channel of grace. And the second thing that we can do, the building block that we can learn today, is start speaking the word of truth. Start confessing the word of truth. When you go to a family gathering, pray. Pray that God will use you to be a means of channel of blessing in that family gathering. And as the years and months it goes by, we believe that that seed that God will begin to work. It's not just you. God is already at work in their hearts, right? Just like Terry, God has already brought him to Sunway Lagoon. I didn't have to invite him. I just met him there. God has already at work in each and every one of your household. We have to be faithful. We have to be discerning. And we have to be that means of grace and love and life. Amen. Let me just pray for us and we're going to move into a time of dialogue. As I pray for you, close your eyes. I want you to imagine and begin to have in your mind faces and names of your households. Parents, siblings, cousins. Some of them, I know you know that they are going through a difficult situation. Some of them financial difficulties. Some of them a health challenge. Some of them a marriage challenge. Whatever challenge, I want you to lift them out to God. I want you to ask God to use you as a means of grace to them. And I'm going to pray for us. God, I thank you that even as this series we learn about me and my household, Lord, it's not just about us becoming a better parent, a better spouse. It's not about that. But it's about seeing that you want to use each and every one of us to be a blessing, a channel of blessing to households and their in-laws and their cousins and households and generations to come. I pray, God, even as today we learn about speaking the word, God, we ask for your forgiveness if we have been harsh in our words. We ask for your forgiveness if everything that comes out of our mouth is accusation and complaints and gossip and slander. And I just pray, God, that we ask for your forgiveness. But instead, God, we choose to speak life. We choose to confess the word. We choose to live out the word. We choose to be a student of the word in our household so that we can allow the word to work in us and to work through us, God. God, we are excited even as we speak about this series, Me and My Household Will Be Saved. I pray, God, that you will use us to be a means of grace so that our household will be blessed, our household will be saved, and will grow in you and grow in our faith. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah.